time of fellowship. Amen. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for giving honor to God for this day and coming to His house. We want to continue a message that we started last week about hope against hope. We started out by saying, how do you have hope when you don't have hope? Hope against hope. We referenced that when they were talking to Abraham. You've got a lot of scriptures I want to read today, but I'm not going to go back and read this one. But in Romans, it was talking about where Paul was referencing Abraham. You remember what the story of Abraham and Sarah? It was impossible. And so God used that format to tell us and teach us about faith. He said He's the father of faith. And He used His life, which meaning was impossible situation. You know the story that He was well stricken in years, almost 100 years old, and Sarah was old and beyond years. And God used that impossible situation to prove that God operates in impossible situations. And He gave us the joy of hope. But we don't understand hope a lot of times. And so, Paul referenced that Abraham had hope against hope. When everything seemed to be against him, he operated in a level that was beyond his natural. And so, we want to talk about that a little bit today. God is calling us to understand more and more the supernatural. And I want to say this to you. Everything God does is supernatural. Everything God does is supernatural. This whole Bible, 66 books, is based on supernatural events of God with natural people. And so God has something in here for us to learn, because hope is an avenue that God has given to us that we can touch heaven even when we don't have hope. So I want to go, like I said last week, I got several scriptures I want to read to you. But to set a tone, let's go to Mark. Hold your Bible open when we go, because we're going to look at a couple of things here. In Mark is a very, very distinctive passage of scripture. Mark 16, beginning in verse 15. This is Jesus talking here, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We call that the Great Commission. We understand that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, there's a lot of power in that verse right there, because that verse is actually talking about supernatural. If you can believe, believing has nothing to do with our knowledge, with our feeling, with our ability. And that's where we struggle so many times, because God is calling us to go into a world that is full of no hope. And we have to be a light in that world. Now, sometimes we argue with that, because how do you have hope when you don't have hope? And so God is saying here, you have got to approach this in a supernatural realm. Now think about it just a minute. All right, let's finish reading it. Look what he said in verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. When you believe in a supernatural God and leave it there, now that's the hard part. We're going to talk about that. But how many of you believe today that God can do anything? We believe that. We're not even going to debate that. But how about when it comes to your house and you're going through difficult times, do you believe that He still can do it? See, that's the battle. We got hope that God can do anything, but when it comes to us, we fight against hope. It's like I've heard people say many times, I can pray for anybody, but I have a hard time praying for myself. You know, that's just being honest. Because every one of us are faced, listen, We're faced with a real world. My heart's been crushed this week by the events of that's going on. You heard about the school shooting. The 15-year-old that called her mama and was dying, and her mama, she was talking to her mama while she died. My heart was crushed because I'm a parent. What in the world can you handle a phone call like that? What possessed somebody to go in a room, pull out a gun, and just start killing people? Because we live in an evil world. And I'm going to say something to you. The only way you're going to deal with it is supernatural. The only way you're going to deal with handling and protecting and taking care of your home is leaning to a God that is bigger than you are. Does that make sense? We can't handle things. And I believe that God has got us to a place in America that it's all too big for us. A lot of you are going through a lot of stuff right now that is too big for you. You've done all you know to do. You are so tired because you have exhausted yourself, me included, with everything we know to do. Well, what do you do when all you know to do ain't enough no more? Am I being real? What do? You just give up? You say God's not real? God is saying, I never expected you to do it in the natural. It's too big for you. I'm telling you to go into a world that is bigger than you are. You can't handle what's in that world. So that's the reason on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord praying, he filled them with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a part of God, to give them the power to do what they needed to do. We need God more today than we've ever needed him before, but you are going to come to a level of your knowledge of God that is bigger than you are. Amen. And that's the point I'm at, and that's the point you're at. So he said here, look what he said in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them. This is written in red, which tells me, As they transcribed the Bible, these were actual words of Jesus. He that believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believed not shall be damned. Okay, look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you will cast out devils. Now, how many of you believe there's evil in this world? How many of you believe that evil walked in that school classroom and started unloading? Well, I'm kind of, my wife, you know, she teaches in the school system. Pray for her today. I think she's trying to get some of the flu mess that's going around in school, because they've had several of them in her room. And she's one that she's going to touch them and hug them and know all that stuff you're not supposed to do. But there's a little boy in her room, and they're just, I don't know if I can get it out. He's homeless. And the children make fun of him because he's dirty, but his mama and them won't let nobody help. Somebody tries to help, and she gets mad, comes to school, and cusses them out. So where do you think that's coming from? That's evil. And it breaks my heart because I want to help it. So it's bigger than me. You see what I'm saying? It's bigger than me. I can't hardly deal with it. And everywhere you face in this world, you'd be surprised how many children today, you know, they got certain children in their classroom. They give them food on Friday to carry home with them because they know they don't have nothing to eat for Saturday and Sunday. That breaks my heart. I can't help it. It just breaks my heart, but it makes me madder at the devil, because all of it's coming from him. He's one that takes away. There's a lady here that runs a pregnancy center here in Goldsboro, and she has to go to these hotels. I know her like I know my name. Beverly Weeks. Beverly Weeks. Thank you. I don't know what I do with her. She goes to these homes. The Lord leads her to these homes and gets babies out of the home, because the parents are on drugs and high. and she brings the babies to a safe place. That happens every week. It's right here in Goldsboro. That's too big for me. That's bigger than us. How do you deal with that? What are we supposed to do? God says that we would be able to identify evil, and we would have the power and the authority to overcome it. That's what he says. All right, let's look what he says here now. If you believe in my name, you'll cast out devils and they'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. That's evil, venom, poisonous, and they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. That's talking about the children of God dealing with evil. And they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now that's Jesus calling us into the world. And he knows what's in this world. We are supposed to make a difference, but we don't know how to make a difference sometimes. Have you ever wanted to do something, but you just don't know what to do? So I want us now to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because God is calling us to the supernatural. But one of the biggest enemies to the supernatural is our flesh. I want you to understand the biggest enemy that you have in believing. He said if you can believe. And you know what I've learned about believing? Believing is not a wish list that everything I pray for is going to come out just like I want it. If that was true, there wouldn't be no hungry children and there wouldn't be no sick, nothing. You know, that's just me. But God said, I want you to go in this world and I don't want you to lose your belief. Because believing is your lifeline to survival. Believing is how you're going to help people come through. And he reminded me this week, he said, you remember when Jesus was told the disciples to go to the other side and he went into the bottom of the boat and fell asleep? In the middle of the storm, he was sleeping. And my thought kind of run a little bit. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? He's saying, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And faith doesn't get you out of trouble. Faith brings you through trouble. I feel his anointing so strong here today because we're living in a real world. And you're going to be faced with talking to somebody sometime or another that's going through stuff. I bet if I get you to raise your hand that many of you went cross paths with somebody this week that's going through something. And Jesus said it's our commission to go into the world. But how are we going to go into the world when we're battling ourselves? The Bible said if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. If it were possible. And what did he say about knowledge? You remember the scripture he said about knowledge? I love this church because this is a word church here. My people are destroyed for lack of what? So, Jesus says, I want you to do this great commission thing. And then when you get into the readings of Paul, you say, okay, I understand all that, but let's be real. You know, the young people's got a thing now, really? Really? Yeah, really? I mean, do you really want me to do that? Really? When a two-year-old tells you that, you know you're in trouble. So anyhow, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16. I want to read all of it to you, but I don't have time. But if you really want to get the gist out of it, read the whole chapter. Let me back up. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now here's Paul writing to a church, and he's saying, I've got a lot to tell you. I've got some supernatural things to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. Okay, that's really what he's saying. Now, I'm going to take time to read all that, but go on down to verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How many of you know when you got saved, who saved you? A preacher didn't save you. He might have shook your hand or whatever, but he didn't save you. When you got saved, God saved you. Amen? And at that point, the Holy Spirit... All right, let's back up to the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, the Holy Spirit didn't come into effect till the day of Pentecost. Excuse me, He was here in the beginning of the world. Who do you think created the world? Amen? So, when you got saved, who led you in the knowledge that you needed to be saved? The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He convicted us. He let me know that you need God. Every one of you, remember that? You remember when God convicted you and you felt like you needed to just give it all to Him, and so you did do that? It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit wants to continue in your life because He's the one who brings hope. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is a revelator? He reveals the Word to us. Have you ever been reading the Bible sometime and you've read that scripture 10 times and all of a sudden you read it again and it just comes out? Oh, I get it now. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So look what it says. Paul is telling the Corinthians. Now, Corinthians were people who were known for their gifts. But they got overwhelmed in their gifts thinking it was all them. I'm going to tell you something. It is zero us and 100% God. Amen? So, he said here, know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's got a question mark there. The Spirit of God dwells in you. He is your power. He is what gets you through things. Let me tell you something that's scary. Have you ever almost gotten a wreck sometime and you just closed your eyes and all of a sudden you came through and nothing would happen? You know who got you through? God. I give Him praise in a minute. Stop the car, get on your knees, kiss the ground, whatever you got to do. But it was Him. See, He's in us. He wants to live in us. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to reveal the Word to us. But there's a battle going on, and that's what our minds and our flesh. We'll talk about that in just a second. I've got just a few more minutes. Look at verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive you. Look at verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, the wisdom of this world will try to explain everything you're going through. God says, don't lean to that wisdom. Now, does that mean we don't go to doctors and we don't listen to them? That's not what it's meaning. You are to understand the gifts God has gifted us with doctors. Luke was a doctor. He walked around with Paul. He was Paul's personal physician. He wrote a book in the Bible. So God is all about doctors, and you listen to them. But I'm going to tell you about doctors. They are limited. They'll tell you they're limited. They can only do what science reveals to them to do. And there comes a time when you got to give it to the great physician. Amen. That's the hope against hope. So, verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And what's all that talking about? There's a battle going on with what you're going through on who to listen to. All right? I want to go to Romans, if you will. Back up and let's go to Romans. Chapter 4, this is where we were the other day. Romans chapter 4. I want you to understand that your flesh is your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. Your flesh will always contradict what God says. Does that make sense? Your flesh will always, so you got to understand, the power of the Holy Spirit overrides the natural. Is it natural for a man to take a stick, throw it in the water, and it split up, and they walk, a whole army of people go across on Red Sea? Is that natural? No. God did it, though, because He's supernatural. Is it natural that a cloud followed by day and a fire by night? Is that natural? No. God did. Everything God does is supernatural. I hope you're getting something out of this, because you're going to be faced with some stuff. Romans chapter 4. We read this a little bit last week, but let me read just a little bit more. I got so much stuff here. All right, look at verse 4, Romans. What shall we say then to Abraham our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? All right, now for time's sake, go back to verse 18. I want you to read the whole chapter this week, but for time's sake, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. God, my body is dead. My wife's body is dead. But you said this was going to happen. The Word said it's going to happen. So what do we need to do more? We need to start leaning more to the Word. One of the greatest things you can do every single day is take time out to open your Bible and read. We got any readers in here that love to read? Reading expands your knowledge. We know that. So when you need something from God, just take some scripture. Go to the book of Psalms. Go somewhere and start reading His Word. All right? Real quick, a couple other things I want to share with you. Can you give me about 5 more minutes? Amen. Thank you. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hopefully you're writing this down or can remember it or whatever, but I want you, it'll help you. This one right here is really going to help you. To understand authority, we must understand the principles of the authority. That makes sense. I'm so proud of my policeman we got here today. I feel safe when he's here and when my bodyguard's here. He's out, he's working today. But this church is covered, so we're good, okay? But he represents a whole regiment. That badge represents laws, guidelines, everything. He represents that. And if I had a problem, I'd go to him and I'd talk to him and I'd believe what he said, because he represents that authority. You know what I'm saying? Same way with our bodyguard over here. Rob, he's our bodyguard. I bet no inmate gives him no trouble whatsoever. Yes, sir, no, sir. But he represents something. And so what God's trying to teach us is that His Word represents everything God is. So when you speak the Word, even though you are having struggling with hope, you present hope, even if it's against hope. Does that make sense? Sometimes I have to write scriptures down because I ain't feeling it right now and I don't believe it right now, but I know it's God's Word, but I'm struggling with it right now, so I'll write it down, put it on my refrigerator. Because that's a frequent place I go. So I want to put it there, because eventually I'm going to start believing it. Does that make sense? All right, I got a lot to cover and I got to close. You got to get this. Look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to close, I promise, after this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So what you're going through right now is a supernatural battle. Now, if my tire goes flat on my car, I got enough sense to know how to get in there and change it. I don't have to sit beside the road praying fast for days to get my tire changed, because I got enough sense to know how to change my tire. But say I'm somewhere and I have real bad engine trouble, whatever, and I really do need some help. Hope against hope, God's going to come help me. How many of you know that? Yep. Amen. So look at verse 3. What I'm trying to say here, what the Word's trying to say, is that your warfare Verse 4, for the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. How you going to deal with your situation is not found in natural. Isn't that something? You don't have the natural means to deal with the devil. I can't get over that little 15-year-old girl. My oldest granddaughter's 12. And I've been praying so hard for that mama. Because she needs weapons that's bigger than she is. How many of y'all know that? And so I got to understand, I got to learn. And the key word is learn, because nobody knows it all. But I got to learn how to start leaning on God when I don't know what to do. Because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. It would be so easy if the devil was a person and you just take care of it. But he's evil all over the world. And we are called of God. I read you the Great Commission. We got to deal with it. Because here's what I found out. It'll come to you if you don't go to it. Turn to the one beside of you and say, it'll come to you if you don't go to it. Well, that's somewhere way off somewhere. That's Texas. That's this, that. That's way off somewhere. The devil's everywhere. And I'm not going to be a preacher that talks about how bad everything is all the time. I'm not going to be a preacher that talks about how powerful the devil is all the time. I get sick of that. But my job is to inform you, I do want to talk about how big my God is. How he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you think or even ask. And when you come to the point in life that you don't know what to do, we're not going to sit and dissect all of the devil's doing. We're going to lean on God, who is greater than we are. God is able. God is able. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.